Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With innovative education programs in the works, ongoing efforts to expand campuses and new construction on bond-approved projects, what challenges and opportunities await SAISD in 2019? What's next for San Antonio's third-largest school district and its students? We're joined by Pedro Martinez, the superintendent for San Antonio Independent School District. And you can call in with your questions and comments, 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at TPR Source. And Superintendent, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
So we have a phone call from our voicemail line. Let's go ahead and get that on.
Hi, my name is Kim, and I have a question for Pedro Martinez, or actually a comment. Most of our community is not in favor of selling off our schools to for-profit companies in other states. And to do it so that you guys can get away with not following the restrictions that are set up by the state is going to hurt us in the long run. If my tax money is going to those schools, that money needs to stay in our community.
All right. So maybe do you know what this caller is talking about?
Sure. And actually, I'm glad to even respond to that comment. There is a concern out there in the community, mainly a lot of misinformation and, frankly, mistruths that are being spread by a few special interest groups. But there's a valid concern about is the future of our district to bring in a significant number of outside charter organizations? Is our goal is to, for example, lease out our properties to current charter organizations that are independent of us? And the direct answer is absolutely not. In fact, there has been nothing that we've done to date, even in that direction. The reference is being made to the fact that last year we did partner with an organization called Democracy Prep, a not-for-profit that is co-managing our Stewart Elementary School. They have a strong track record, but the difference of that partnership, they are not an independent charter. They are actually part of our district. We control the enrollment. It's a neighborhood school. They have to accept and serve every single child. And we want to learn some of the practices that they're doing to see if there's some lessons for us to learn. But and even in that partnership, it was a unique partnership that we did. Overall, if you look at what we've been doing as a district, the majority of our investments have been in our neighborhood schools. Any new school model that we've created, the vast majority of them have been homegrown, whether it's our Montessori school, our CAS Tech program. Now, we always have amazing partners that are there with us, whether they're universities or national experts in these areas. CAS, for example, is a great example, CAS Tech, and now we're going to open up CAS Med this fall. The Young Women Leadership Academy, who has been an amazing school we've had since 2008, now we're adding a primary campus. There'll be also a single-gender all-girls school with our partner from Dallas that is an expert in these single-gender schools. So we're definitely going at a fast pace. We're making very many changes. But I will tell you, we are not in the business or have the desire to either sell off our buildings, lease out our buildings, bring in partnerships that are outside of our management, because our board is very clear. We want to be accountable for our children. We want to be accountable for the results, and we want to be accountable to our taxpayers.
Here's an email we got from Concha. She says, given the drop in SAISD student enrollment in the district during the 3 years Superintendent Martinez has been there, 5,000 students, it appears that the community is not buying what he is selling. Perhaps he should focus on our SAISD families and what they want for their schools instead of creating boutique schools that the developers are pushing for their clientele that they hope to bring into the central city to displace our current residents. And that is an email from one of our listeners.
Sure. And that's another point that I love to address. Again, we have a lot of, sadly, a lot of misinformation out there. When you look at our investments.
Well, can I ask you about the drop in students?
Sure,
is that number, first of all, accurate, 5,000 students?
So we have lost, Dave. So first of all, we've been losing children for more than two decades. In the last 2 years, there's been a significant number of charter seats. We now have over 13,000 charter seats that are within my district or right near my district bounds, and a lot of those seats opened up in the last 3 to 4 years. And unfortunately, when I came to the district 3.5 years ago, those buildings were already under construction. What has happened, in the last 3 years, Dave, we have lost over 3,000 students. It's been a struggle for us. But let me tell you what has happened. First of all, 3.5 years ago, if our current accountability system was in place, we would have been an F district. We would have had, out of our 50,000 students, over 35,000 in the lowest performing campuses in the state. That has now been the number of low performing schools has been reduced by 2/3. We're now at a C level. By the way, in comparison, Northeast and Northside are at a B level, and that's with our district having over 90% poverty, having significant challenges that are just not the same in Northeast or Northside. And a C is not where we want to be. What is happening? And last year was our strongest academic year ever in more than a decade. What is happening now, Dave? And this is what I'm seeing. First of all, we think we have an amazing opportunity to stabilize our enrollment. Families are seeing such big differences in our schools, all of our schools, by the way, not just our new schools, all of our schools with stronger instructional leadership with our new principals. We've elevated teachers with our Master Teacher Initiative. And what's interesting is when they go to other organizations, other charter schools, or even other independent school districts, they see the difference. They see that the children are not being challenged as much. They see the children doing more worksheets than they do in our schools. And our results are showing that, Dave. Last year, almost 60% of our schools, 68% of our schools made gains at the college level across grades 3 through 8. So in other words, not just at the minimum level, and over 50% made it at the most advanced level. So in other words, we're pushing these children and challenging them so much that the commissioner said that San Antonio ISD now is one of the fastest improving schools in the state from being one of the lowest performing in the state 3.5 years ago. The challenge right now, and this is the goal for us, we now have to be telling our story to our parents. So parents understand that. Usually parents find out once they leave us, and then it's a real big hassle for them to come back. So you're going to see in the new calendar year a very direct effort being driven by our neighborhood schools to show families this is what we're doing, this is what we're accomplishing. Please give us a chance, because when you go to another district or you go to another or if you go to a charter school, you're not going to find the same type of support and the same type of rigor for your children.
Here's a caller, 210-614-8980, if you want to call in. If you've got a question for SAISD Superintendent Pedro Martinez, and here's Elizabeth. Elizabeth, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. I was just wanting Mr. Martinez to speak to the deregulation of charter schools. Charter schools definitely have a lack of, they don't have the same protections. Public schools have more protections than charter schools do. Like, for example, charter schools they're not required to service special needs children. They're able to remove children who aren't performing well, which is why charter schools' scores seem more inflated sometimes. They're also able to remove children for discipline in a different way than public schools are. They have charter schools, especially the Ogden School in SAISD, had some highly punitive and questionable discipline practices. And they don't have the same protections for charter schools, don't have the protections for teachers' contracts, employee contracts. And so I'm wondering, like, what is SAISD doing? Like, if you're handing over the district to charter schools, like, are you going to require, like, the same kind of protections that state schools have? Or are you just going to roll by this sort of Wild West regulatory practices that the corporations have put in place for charters? Like,
Okay, Elizabeth, thank you for the call. And so let's get an answer from Pedro Martinez.
Sure. And again, thank you for the question. So again, I want to, and this is, thank you for giving me this opportunity to set, you know, really, again, there's just a lot of misinformation out there. And I think it's important for us, including myself and my board, to really explain what is happening. So first of all, we are not, and I'm repeating this, we are not selling off our schools. We're not outsourcing our schools to charter organizations per se. What we're doing, and we've been doing, by the way, we've had in-district charters for more than 2 decades. Bonham Academy is an in-district charter. Hawthorne Academy is an in-district charter. And those were 20 years ago. Those are two of our oldest charters. we've expanded the number of in-district charters, and the difference between an in-district charter and an outside charter is, and the caller is correct, outside charters don't have to serve special needs kids to the same extent that we do. They don't have to serve English language learners the same extent that we do. They can actually find ways to not serve as many free and reduced lunch children as we do. We have charter organizations that literally are in my neighborhood or even in some of the poor communities and are serving less than 10% of their population as free and reduced lunch. So with our in-district charters, we have the same requirements that we have for any other school, serving every single child. In every instance, except for one, all the staff actually are our staff, and they have our employment contracts and union contracts. We did with Democracy Prep, that was, and again, a not-for-profit. That was the one case that we did decide to try out having the employees work for them. But in that situation, the employees are making the same or higher salary than our employees. They have the same or stronger benefits than ours. And so, and then that was a very specific situation of a turnaround situation. But in none of our district charters, whether it's at Ogden or Storm with our partnership with Relay, those staff are actually ours. And the reality, and actually, there is no issues around discipline there. In fact, children, if you go to those schools, children are happy, they're engaged, they're being challenged. I'm excited to see what the results are going to be this year. And we had at the last board meeting multiple parents and teachers from those schools that are our teachers that said, look, any misinformation about these schools is just not right. I mean, the reality is that we do, unfortunately, and this is the struggle that I have, we do have a couple special interest groups that continue to provide this misinformation because the narrative of the district getting better, the narrative of the district having the best results that they've ever had, that we're holding staff accountable. Unfortunately, there's been special interest groups that have lost power. And there's been special interest groups that had gotten their way in their past, and our children were the ones that lost out.
All right, we're taking a break. We're going to come back with more questions and comments for Pedro Martinez, SAISD superintendent. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. We're going to hear about the test scores, how they're going up, and other issues and challenges and opportunities for 2019. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Pedro Martinez, superintendent for San Antonio Independent School District, is in the studio. He's taking your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. We got an email from Elizabeth. The work of a teacher grows more challenging each year. We face increased paperwork from district and state organizations. The pressure to get our students to pass these high-stakes tests becomes overwhelming. What is SAISD doing to support teachers in their daily work of curriculum and instruction, as well as the increased demands on our time? And Pedro Martinez.
Sure. So first of all, there is nobody more important in a school district than a teacher.
Well, important in our society, really.
Yes, and the reality is that our society does not honor teachers enough, especially when you compare 20, 30 years ago, the amount of pride that went in and the amount of encouragement we were giving people to go into teaching. We don't see that today. We advocate strongly with the state about, first of all, reducing some of the unfunded mandates that we have, especially with our special needs children, our English language learners. In addition, we really believe teachers, frankly, need to be compensated better. We've been able to raise our starting salaries in San Antonio to over $50,000. But the reality is a tenured teacher, a teacher who's been with us for 20 years or more, still doesn't make very much. We've been very proud of the fact that we've started elevating our strongest teachers. We call them master teachers in our district. The state now is in their next biennium is going to look at an initiative to raise compensation for our strongest teachers, and they're titling it the Master Teacher Initiative.
So master teachers should be able to teach. Are they doing paperwork, or are they actually motivating students?
So what we do is we try to help our strongest teachers. Right now they're spending a lot of extra time working with children that have very specific needs. In addition, though, we also are now looking at how do we help them become leaders? How do we help them coach other teachers? But the goal is to minimize the amount of paperwork they're doing. But that is, I will tell you, a fight with our state and even with our federal government. And I think we all need to be advocating for our teachers.
Let's go to Augie. He's called in. And here we go. Augie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. My son was a 2004 graduate of Fox Tech Law and Research Magnet Program during Cockrell's tenure. And she did an awesome job of turning the mindset and the paradigm shift of the schools, I guess their approach towards education. My question is, because of Fox Tech's central location downtown, and there's basically no ownership by the West Side community or the East Side, and it's in a prime position for developers, because I've noticed every time I go downtown, the shrinkage, the development, San Pedro Creek expansion, and it's just on and on going. And my other question is, would they offer Mexican-American studies, Chicano studies to the students of the SISD school district? And my final comment is, there is no more chili bowl. Thank you.
Augie, thank you so much. So SAISD, you're planning a new central headquarters that's going to be near Fox, right near on Fox Tech, used to be. So is there's no more campus there, no more classrooms?
No. In fact, Fox Tech is more vibrant today than it ever has been. We now have three different schools on the Fox Tech campus. We have Cast Tech, which is in the old wood and metal shop buildings. Those have all been renovated, and now it looks like a Google office space. We have the Advanced Learning Academy with grades 4 through 12 there. And then we have the Fox Tech programs. And by the way, you know, from our Fox Tech Law and Health, last year our valedictorian, Ms. Gonzalez, was able to get into Princeton. And right now is attending Princeton as we speak. And that school continues to be one of our highest performing schools. So now there's three different schools in that campus. We have more parents, more buy-in into that community more than ever. And so, in fact, the development that's happening around there, we're actually now in a better position to advocate with the city to continue to make investments that benefit our kids. So, for example, the San Pedro Creek, even our central office that will be right there, will have a green space specifically for the children. So for us, I'm very optimistic about Fox Tech and where it's going. And like I said, the all three schools are very popular, and all three are doing very well.
We know from studies that when you have programs like Mexican American Studies in communities that are similar to San Antonio, you see reduced dropout, better grades, better enthusiasm for going to school. Are we trying to tap into that?
You know, we actually are looking into that. In fact, it fits very nicely with the fact that we now have 45 dual language programs that start in the pre-K and are going to go all the way through the high school. And as part of those programs, we're actually bringing original texts from Mexico and other Latin American countries. So we're researching how do we do more of whether it's Mexican study courses, Chicano courses. So that is going to be part of it. But what I'm very proud of is the fact that we now have 45 dual language programs that are all phasing in, up from just 2, 3.5 years ago, that are not only honor the language, but also the culture. And so we are looking at these types of offerings to try to bring into our high schools because they fit in so nicely with that strategy.
Got another email from Stephanie. Why did he, and she's talking about you, Pedro Martinez, why did Pedro Martinez tell the community of Rodriguez Elementary School that he was going to appeal for the school to stay open and then not do it?
So we actually had several conversations with the state to try to keep Rodriguez open. The challenge really came in was that by state law, Rodriguez had been a low-performing school for now its fifth year. And even though we had plenty of conversations with the commissioner, we had our legislators submit letters of request to look at it, the reality is that the law was very clear, and unfortunately it just didn't make it. What I'm very excited about, though, is we're already working with the community to redesign that school. So our goal is to we'll have to close it next year, but then we'll reopen it in the fall of 2020. And I'm looking forward to working with the community to reimagine what that school could be. And in the meantime, we're working with the current families there to transition them to other schools. And so far, that's going very well.
So with the test scores and the challenges we've had, it looked like Tafoya Middle School may be facing that same trajectory, but they're scores went up and you're able to avoid that?
Yes. So we actually had six schools that were in that situation. And unfortunately, Rodriguez was the only one that fell into the final consequence of having to be closed. Tafoya was able to make it. And that goes back to my earlier statement. last year was our strongest academic year in more than a decade, with so many, you know, at scale, with almost 70% of our schools making not only gains, but gains at the college and advanced level. And we saw a significant reduction in low-performing schools, significant reduction in low-performing seats over by almost two-thirds. Are we where we want to be? Absolutely not. But considering that we were an F district 3.5 years ago, we're now at a C. We've made gains every year. If we hit our goals this year, we could be a B district, which is where Northside and Northeast is at, and that'd be 1 year ahead of schedule because that was our target for 2020.
Recently, it came to light that there were some issues of overcrowding in certain classrooms in SAISD. Is it 22 is the number of students that you're supposed to have in a classroom? And then some classrooms had as many as 32. How prevalent is that?
Sure. So first of all, the state law requires class size to be a 22-to-1 or less in kindergarten through fourth grade. We looked at this situation. We do have a waiver from the state around class size. I'll tell you, when we looked at our classrooms, so kindergarten to fourth grade, we have over 900 classrooms, about 913 to be exact. When we looked at how many of them were above 22, there was about 90 of them. And in those 90, the vast majority, I would say more than 70%, maybe had 23 or 24 children. We did have a couple that hit over 25. In those there were very special situations. They might have hit 29. One was 29, for example. It was a bilingual classroom where it was very difficult to find another bilingual teacher at that time of the year. So we added a classroom mate, and we talked to the teacher and said, would this work for you? And in fact, she felt that was a better idea than trying to find somebody else because she was already developing a relationship with those children. So as we speak now, she has an aide. So we've been managing this. Of course, our goal is never to have, large class sizes. Unfortunately, with enrollment declines, we've had children just come, they don't come in perfect packages, but 90% of our classrooms are actually below the 22-to-1, either at 22 or below the 22-to-1.
What are your expectations for the upcoming legislative session? Education funding, those are going to be some of the major issues.
So first of all, again, we have to continue to advocate for our teachers. We've made some headway in increasing starting salaries. We need to do a lot more to ensure that teachers are frankly, that they can do their job well. Again, a lot of, some of the questions, some of the concerns that are caught in the caller had before. And I also want to ensure that our children that live in poverty, that they get a fair set of funding. Our state has never really funded, our districts to serve children of poverty. And so that has unintended consequences. So that's why when charter schools come in, many times, they don't serve the same level of poverty that we do. They don't serve the same level of special needs children that we do because the system was never designed for that. And unfortunately, there's loopholes in the law that allows them to do that. For our districts that are stuck with this, and we are the safety net for these children, and we're proud of it, by the way. These children are amazing individuals. They're sponges. We're seeing, again, significant gains with these children. We're seeing more children that are never graduating, going to college, but it does require resources. And so one of the things I'm very proud of is that we've been able to show the state that if you provide even a little bit of an investment, you can see significant changes with these children in poverty. And that's why they're looking at us as a model district where they can learn some lessons. They're even looking at the way we look at poverty. We use census data to see what median incomes of families are. We're actually helping the state have the conversation about even redefining poverty so that they look at children that are homeless, children that maybe are in the foster care system that have these additional challenges that sometimes our data doesn't even show.
Graduation rates, they're up now.
Yes, sir. We're now in the last graduating class, we went up to 85%. That's the highest we've been at in more than a decade. But more importantly, more children than ever that are college ready, more children than ever that are exposed to advanced placement classes, international baccalaureate classes, more children than ever that are attending four-year universities in Tier 1. It's interesting, 3.5 years ago, less than 50 students were attending Tier 1 universities. In the last 2 years, it's been over 200.
Pedro Martinez, he's the superintendent for San Antonio Independent School District. 2019 promises to be a year of challenges and opportunities for SAISD. And we're going to have you back here in the studio multiple times during the year to get more updates from you.
Thank you for having me.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.